We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. The YWCA of San Diego County has been empowering individuals and families to break the cycle of domestic violence and homelessness for decades now. They do this through safe housing, employment assistance, and other programs and services that increase equal opportunity. Joining us this morning is YWCA of San Diego County CEO, Heather Finlay. Welcome, Heather.
Good morning, Gary.
Nice to have you on the show today. Tell us a little bit about the YWCA of San Diego County.
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me today. We really appreciate the opportunity to talk about YWCA as well as the issue of domestic violence. So YWCA of San Diego County actually started in 1908. The purpose of YWCAs are to advocate for women and girls, to help empower them to reach equality. And we have been working towards a particular mission within that umbrella since 1978, when we opened the first emergency shelter for survivors of domestic violence. And we discovered in our path to try to help women to be empowered and to reach full advancement that we had to address domestic violence. One in four women will experience domestic violence in her lifetime, and that is something that we needed to help the community with. So we started the emergency shelter in 1978, and we now have full comprehensive programming for survivors of domestic violence.
So the local branch of the YWCA opened in 1908?
1908.
And you are part of the national YWCA, right?
Correct. So our national office is actually located in Washington, D.C. We do a lot of advocacy work for issues involving women and girls. And so it makes sense that the headquarters for us is in Washington, D.C.
Now, here's something I am a little confused on, and I'm sure others are. Is the YMCA and YWCA, are they associated with each other?
No, they are two totally different organizations. Hmm. So my understanding is they both started in the mid-1850s, both started in England, both came to the United States at the same time. But the YWCA was started by some of the wives of some of the board members of the YMCA in order to advocate for women and girls and try to reach equality. So the YWCA's mission across the country and around the world is always to advocate for women and girls.
Where are you located here in San Diego?
Our office building is downtown. So all of our housing areas are confidential, so I can't disclose those.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Yes.
And how long have you been with YWCA?
So I am on my 10th year as CEO. I was actually a board member before that for almost 4 years. And I started as a volunteer. So I used to do real estate development and build apartment complexes. And I volunteered my time to help build one of the Becky's houses.
So you've been with them for a long time.
I've been here for a long time. I was so impressed with the comprehensive services offered by the YW. I was stunned to learn that one in four women experiences domestic violence, something that we don't talk about. There's still so much shame associated with the issue. And I felt like it was something that I needed to get involved in and really try to help the community on this issue.
So how many women, or I shouldn't say just women, because you do serve men too.
We do serve men and boys, yes.
How many people do you serve locally each year?
So we serve anywhere between 8,000 and 9,000 people every single year.
And for you, what is the most challenging, most rewarding part of your job or being associated with an organization like this?
I think for us, because of the confidential nature of what we do and the services that we provide, the most challenging thing is creating awareness. It's also challenging because so many people don't want to talk about this. They don't want to admit that they're in a domestic violence relationship. They feel alone in this. They don't feel like there are resources out there to help them. And that is our biggest challenge, just trying to help everyone understand that there are resources. The YWCA has comprehensive programs, including housing, to help them get out of those abusive relationships. You are not in this alone. You are not the only one experiencing this. So it's so important for us to really be talking about this and helping everyone understand that these services are available. The most rewarding is when we see so many individuals and their children escaping domestic violence and homelessness. When they come to us and we're able to support them and help them get to a place where they can rebuild their lives and they can support their families and they can live on their own, free from violence, in a healthy relationship, that is very, very exciting for us. Because not only is that family out of danger and succeeding, but they have now broken the cycle of violence in their family.
When you say you help homeless folks too, is it just homeless people that are homeless as a result of domestic violence?
No, we will help individuals who are homeless regardless of the reason.
Okay, and you mentioned some statistics. Are those national statistics or are those local?
The 1 in 4 women experiencing domestic violence is a national statistic. We have a few others, such as over 17,000 calls are made to law enforcement last year because of domestic violence, and understand that many of these incidences are never reported.
So to determine whether these numbers are going up or down or staying steady, hard to determine.
Very, very challenging to determine because so many people are not reporting that this is happening. So over statistical data that we've seen over the last 30 years, there has been a reduction in the number of homicides. Unfortunately, it's not yet zero, but there has been a reduction in homicides. But it's very, very challenging for us to determine if there has actually been a reduction in incidences of domestic violence. Since we are still quoting 1 in 4 women experiencing domestic violence, there doesn't seem to be a lot of reduction in that number yet.
Yeah, I would guess that it's going to be very difficult, continue to be difficult, as long as people are not reporting it.
That's correct.
Now, this month is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
That's right.
And you have a big event coming up later in the week. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Sexual assault, big topic of conversation right now.
Yes.
Sexual assault is a form of domestic violence, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Domestic violence is about manipulation and control. It is always psychological and emotional. Sometimes there is physical abuse. Sometimes there is sexual assault. And sometimes there's financial abuse, where any money that's part of the household is actually kept away from her so that she doesn't have many resources to leave the relationship.
And verbal abuse also part of domestic violence, which a lot of people, I don't think, consider that.
Right. And it is always emotional, verbal, psychological. The perpetrator of abuse will use intimidation, fear, oftentimes threatening the victim, threatening the children, sometimes even threatening suicide for themselves. Isolation is used as well, trying to keep her from her family and friends so there isn't anybody else trying to dispel the information that he is providing. And I should mention that men are also victims of domestic violence. 1 in 7 men are survivors of domestic violence. But just in the ease of conversation, I will be using he as the abuser and she as the victim.
Okay. Again, we're going to talk about your event that's coming up, and that's a great way to raise awareness. How else can people get involved and raise awareness about domestic violence in our community?
Well, this month being Domestic Violence Awareness Month, there are a number of things that you can do on social media to support survivors as well as help bring awareness to the issue itself. One of the things is you could wear purple and take a selfie shot of you and do this with your friends, post that on social media, that you're supporting survivors of domestic violence. Purple is the color of domestic violence, so that's why you will see some things this month in relationship to purple. We also have another campaign going on. It's called the Purple Purse. It's from the Allstate Foundation. And we have an opportunity to receive some donations from Allstate if we get enough people to participate and donate on their site, which can all be found at our website at ywcasandiego.org. So giving to organizations that support victims and survivors of domestic violence is always helpful. Supporting our event, Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, where we're walking a mile in downtown San Diego to bring awareness to the issue, but it's also a way to raise critical funding for the YWCA. That's a way that you can show your support. And also, you know, go to our website, get information, understand what domestic violence is, what it looks like. With 1 in 4 women experiencing domestic violence, chances are we all know someone. We just might not know it. And so if you're versed in the issue, you have more of an opportunity to help.
What about getting out to vote?
Getting out to vote is also very important, and that is an initiative we've been working on in the month of September. It is extremely important that everyone exercise their own voice and exercise their right to vote, because the decisions that get made in Washington are decisions that affect all of us. And they certainly affect how we're able to help and support survivors of domestic violence. So it's so important that you go to the polls, that, again, you use your voice, and that you make sure that you're participating in the process. Because otherwise, other people are going to be doing it, and you may not agree with those decisions and what happens after those people are elected. So it's extremely important that you exercise your voice.
Right, and the elections are not too far off.
No, they're not. They're
so
not.
So get out there and vote.
Get out and vote.
Let's talk about some of your programs. You have Becky's House. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Becky of Becky's House is not her real name, and she called a local radio show back in the 90s. What was her situation back then?
She was in a domestic violence relationship. Her abuser was gone for 3 days. She had 3 days to figure out how to get out, and she had no means of leaving the situation. She had no money and nowhere to go. And on the radio program, they raised $43,000 for her to leave the relationship within that 3-day period. So she was able to move on with her children. She is doing well and is obviously no longer in a domestic violence relationship. And so we decided in 2000 that we should name our program Becky's House in honor of her and in honor of the support that the community gave to her in order to get out of a very dangerous situation. So our domestic violence programs are now called Becky's House.
Okay, and there are several housing programs and services that fall under that umbrella, right?
Correct. So a number of housing opportunities. We have an emergency shelter. When people call our hotline and they are in a critical situation, they need assistance at that moment. They cannot wait. They cannot go on a wait list. So we actually work with other domestic violence service providers in the county to make sure that we can accommodate anybody in a critical situation. Or find some means of getting them out of those situations. We also have what we call transitional housing, which are apartment complexes and allow us to extend housing to them for a longer period of time and continue services. And then when they're ready to venture out with a home of their own, we also have an opportunity for some for rental assistance so they can help establish their own home. The services that we provide are meant to be comprehensive in nature. So we have counselors who are able to help with the trauma that they've experienced. We have case managers that really serve as their guide and somebody that's going to help them with all of the resources that they need for their individual situations. We have case managers, too, that will help them with their employment needs. Many of the women that we see have never worked outside of the home and need help establishing a job and a career path. And we have a legal team that helps with the divorce, the restraining orders, the child custody, whatever the particular situation is. So all of those things are there and available to each individual based on whatever their needs are. So some will take full advantage of all the services, and if some aren't necessarily needing all of that, then they will take what they need and then move on to rebuild their lives on their own.
Is there a waiting list?
No, not for Becky's House.
No.
For the homeless program, there are.
Now, for Becky's House, how many units are there?
Well, we have about roughly 56 units, so almost 200 beds. So
Okay.
we have a number of people that live with us throughout the year. Because, like I said, not everybody will stay for a 12-month period in our transitional housing.
Okay, so it is the transitional is 12 months?
Yes, it's up to 12 months for the transitional housing.
And then the
30 to 90 days for the emergency shelter.
30 to 90 days, mm-hmm. Okay. And again, it's not just for women?
It's not just for women. If you are a man and you have experienced domestic violence, we can speak with you as well.
Now, those that are coming in that are affected by homelessness and domestic violence, how does that work for them? Where do they go? Which program do they go into?
Well, it's going to depend on them and their given circumstance. For someone who is in imminent danger, then they should really be in a domestic violence service program because they're going to be able to offer the most safety. If you're not in imminent danger and resources are available to you in a homeless program, that might be the best fit for you.
Okay, and what's the intake process like? Once somebody gets a hold of you, what happens next?
So when you call our hotline, you will speak to one of our staff members. She will go through a series of questions, really to just determine if you are in the appropriate program for you. Everybody has their own situation, and everybody has different needs, and there are other programs also available. So the intake process, if you've experienced domestic violence, the intake process is largely to make sure that you are in the right program. It's also the same with the homeless programs, is if you are homeless, and in our case, we help families. If you're homeless and you have children, then this is a good program for you.
Let's talk now about the homeless programs that you have.
Okay.
Again, you have housing as well for the homeless folks that come to you.
So we have an interim shelter at the Cortez Hill Family Center for homeless families.
And you also have the Rapid Rehousing Program?
Correct. So the Rapid Rehousing Program is a program that offers rental assistance to help people find what we call permanent housing, which is an apartment or home of their own.
Okay. You mentioned the crisis hotline. This is a 24-hour hotline, right?
Yes, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And this is for domestic violence?
This is for, yes, domestic violence.
And who mans these phones? Are they counselors themselves?
There are staff members who are trained to answer the hotline. Not necessarily counselors, but they are trained in domestic violence service provision and answering the hotline.
Now, your big event coming up this Saturday, the 13th, October 13th, it is your Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, as you mentioned earlier. Love the name of that. How many years have you been doing this?
This will be the 11th year.
And where does it take place?
So this is downtown. We start basically at the end of 4th Street next to the Hilton in that small park that's there. And we walk for a mile in downtown San Diego, end up back at the park. And we have a wonderful lunch from Luna Grill, and Mojo Jackson is the band who will be playing. We have lots of fun games for the kids and different activities to do. So you come. We have a brief opening ceremony where we'll have a few people say a few words, and then we do the walk, which runs about 30 minutes, and then we have lots of fun activities afterwards where people can enjoy a fabulous lunch.
And what time does registration open the day of?
Registration starts at 10. The ceremony starts at 10:30. The walk is usually kicked off at 11, and then things are usually winding down around 1:30.
So it's a later walk than most. But most walks start nice and early in the morning.
That is true.
So you get to sleep in for this one.
It is true, but we have heels involved, so we need people awake, and hey, they've already had their coffee, and they're energized and ready to go.
Well, that's a good point to make. Heels are encouraged, but
not required.
Mandatory, not required.
That's right.
So guys come out there in heels. I've seen pictures of it, and it's sounds like a great event.
That's right. It is a lighthearted way, asking men to put themselves in women's shoes and walk for a mile in downtown to bring awareness to domestic violence.
Okay, and people can register ahead of time too.
Yes,
they
can register at our website, ywcasandiego.org. We would love it if you could put a team together, get others to join you, get people to donate, do a little fundraising. We love this event because we get so much wonderful awareness that's associated with domestic violence. And we also raise money for YWCA's programs. So with both of those happening, the more the merrier, and getting your family and your friends and your colleagues out there to participate is a win-win.
Do you find you get a lot of survivors that join you for the walk?
I'm sure we do. It's not a question we ask people. Uh-huh. So we certainly do.
And the money raised, you said, goes back to the programs. It goes back to Becky's house, right?
Correct.
Any one particular program or service, or is it just right
no,
into the Becky house?
No, it goes into our general operations.
For Becky's house.
Yeah, for YWCA.
Okay, so this is a great event for raising awareness, raising funds. Do you have other fundraising events throughout the year?
Yes. So in the spring, we do a luncheon called In the Company of Women. And we have a celebrity speaker come and speak to us that's relevant to the work that we do. And it's a fun event. It's wonderful time with colleagues and friends. A number of individuals come to that as well. Companies are great to sponsor that event. And so we are super grateful for the support of the community. And it's another opportunity for us to speak about domestic violence, try to educate on what's happening in our community around that issue, and also have a very nice lunch.
So outside of your fundraising events, where else and how else do you get your funding?
So we get it from multiple sources. So we fundraise through our special events. We also get donations from individuals and corporations. And then we submit grant applications, both to foundations and to the government. And we'll reap the rewards of those grant awards.
So if somebody wants to help you with your mission, can they make a donation at your website?
Absolutely. YWCASanDiego.org. You can donate online. It's very easy.
And what about volunteers? I mean, volunteers, I've said this before many times, volunteers are the backbone of nonprofits. What kind of volunteer opportunities do you offer?
Well, a lot of our opportunities are within the fundraising arena. We always need support and help with getting people involved with our special events, especially Walk a Mile. That is one where we really appreciate all the volunteer activity, people getting their family and friends to participate. Because of the confidential nature of the work that we do, we potentially don't have the same amount of maybe volunteer opportunities that other organizations might have. But they do come up from time to time, but many of them are going to be involved in basically helping us to raise the money to support the organization.
Well, any way they can help.
That's
is
right.
Is always good.
That's
it's
right.
A plus right there.
And people who are afraid of fundraising, it's really not that scary. It's mostly about building relationships and getting people knowledgeable about the work that the YW does. So,
yeah, I walk every year in the AIDS Walk San Diego. Just did that recently, and it's not easy to fundraise,
right?
But it can be done. You let people know what it is that you're doing.
You are giving them the opportunity to invest in a wonderful cause and in the community itself.
Right.
So it's a wonderful opportunity.
It's a win-win.
It is a win-win.
We have just a couple of minutes left. Any advice for somebody listening this morning that is in a domestic violent situation, or somebody who knows somebody who might be?
Yes. First and foremost, call our hotline right away. Our staff there can help answer your questions. Even if you're not in a crisis situation, please call our hotline to get information. That is the best place to go. If you know someone in a domestic violence situation, the best thing for you to do is to let them know that you are concerned about them, that you love them, that you're here to help without judgment, and let them know that you are there for whatever it is that they need, without pushing them or without judging them in any way. If somebody comes to you and needs help, please refer them to our hotline, because that is the best place to go. If you're in immediate danger, please call the police. But if you are certainly looking for information, please call our hotline.
Okay, so once again,
you want me to give the number?
Yes, let's have the crisis hotline number, if you would.
So the number is 619-234-3164. Again, that's 619-234-3164. So if you need help or you know someone that needs help, please call this number.
All right, so Walk a Mile in Her Shoes is this Saturday. Downtown San Diego.
Yes.
What's the cross street for the park? You know the cross streets there? Or what the name of the park is?
Yes. It is MLK Promenade Park, which is at 4th and K Street.
And they can get all the information as well as register at your website.
Yes. All the information about the event is there. You can register. You can set up a team. You can make a donation. Anything that you want to do, it's all right there.
Okay. And are you on social media?
Yes, we are.
Super. Heather, thanks for being on the show today. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for all you do at the YWCA of San Diego County. It's great service, and it is appreciated by all. And good luck with the walk Saturday.
Thank you, Gary. We appreciate you giving us the time today.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Join me next week when my guest will be from Stepping Stone of San Diego. Until then, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.